Welcome back to The Lead, a podcast about content marketing by Copyblogger Media. I'm Jared Morris. This episode of The Lead is brought to you by Authority Rainmaker, Copyblogger's second annual live conference focused on providing content marketing training and networking opportunities for real-world results. Authority Rainmaker takes place in May 2015 and will be held at the breathtaking Ellie Calkins Opera House in Denver, Colorado. Keynote presentations will be delivered by Daniel Pink, Sally Hogshead, and DIY pioneer Henry Rollins. Super early bird pricing is still available, but it goes away soon, so don't wait. Go to authorityrainmaker.com for details. Creating content that is both useful and unique is not easy. You know this. It's one of the reasons why content marketing is a proven long play rather than a scheme to get rich quick. But sometimes we overcomplicate things. Sometimes the answer to our question of how do I create the next great piece of content that will help me build my business is staring us right in the face. If only we'd open our eyes. It's our audience. Because while you may be creating content in the niche with 1,000 other sites, only you have your audience. And surveying your audience can be fertile ground for the kind of information and insight that builds your next transformative content series. Just ask Damian Farnworth. He did it twice for Copyblogger in 2014. We talked about his mentality, his process, and the lessons he learned in the latest episode of The Lead. Damian, how are you?
I'm doing well, friend. Thank you. How are you, Jared?
I am doing very well. Excited to begin another year of Lead Podcasts. It should be a fun one.
I agree. I'm excited too.
So a big theme that we've talked about that has been talked about a lot in content marketing circles is just how much content there is out there, right? And how, you know, it's harder now to get noticed just because there's more content. And so to get noticed, to rise above that din, you've got to do something special. You have to create content that is more useful than others. And one way that you do that is to create content that says something different, that is unique. And for anybody who has built an audience, the most unique element that you have, that you are in control of, is that audience. And it can be very fertile ground for creating the kind of unique, useful content that you need to stand out above the crowd. And I use this introduction to introduce the idea of today's lead podcast, which is surveys, and specifically surveying your audience to create unique content. It's something that we've done now twice just in the past year. We did it once last year with our State of Native Advertising series. And we've done it again with the Cost of Doing Business Online series, which the results of which are actually being posted on Copyblogger Wednesday, January 13th, which is actually one day after this episode of The Lead will be heard for the first time. And so with that coming out, I wanted to talk with you, Damian, about surveys and about your process for creating these surveys, kind of what we've learned from these two audience surveys that we've done, and just give our audience some insight, because I think it's something where they can start to look at this too as an avenue, again, for creating that unique, useful content that's needed to stand out above the crowd. So so let's talk about that. I mean, just talk about the surveys that we've done in general, some of your thoughts behind them, and some of the lessons that you've learned.
Yeah, so great opening. And this idea that of your audience being an asset is something, you know, Copyblogger has been preaching for quite a long time. And you know, when we talk about content marketing, we define content marketing. We say that content marketing is, you know, building an audience by educating, informing, and entertaining them. And sometimes, you know, I like to think of, instead of using the word audience, though, I like to use the word market, because really essentially what you're after is this idea of creating this, you know, building this group of people who will then eventually be interested in buying your products. And then you can turn around and say, okay, I fed you all this free content, and now what is it I can build to help, you know, what is it I can build to help you succeed in your business and what you do, you know, whatever routine you have, whatever challenges in life you have, what can I do to help build that? And so, you know, the best way to get there, if you think about that, you build that audience, you create that content, you build that asset, that market of people who are faithful to you, who are advocates for you, and then you turn around and you say, what can I do for you? That's essentially what we've done with the surveys, and that's such a powerful tool to use, and it's often, I think, it gets missed. People not tapping into that just simply because they just don't realize that they can do it and how easy it really is. For example, our very first survey that we ever did, which is kind of surprising thinking of the age of CopyBlogger, was the 2014 Native Advertising Survey, which we just 12 questions. We asked people basic questions about their understanding of native advertising, their awareness of native advertising, and that exercise there was pretty revealing in this sense, because you know part of that survey was meant to help fuel and inform the following series I was going to write that turned out to be about 5 articles. So you know, first I wanted to find out how aware are people of native advertising, and then from there, which, you know, results turned out that, you know, most marketers are such a small minority who knew of advertising, an even smaller minority, about 3% of those who surveyed that we that actually had a solid understanding of native advertising. And we actually got, that was a 12 question survey, so it was short.
And I want to jump in here. That was,
sure,
you know, that part was very revealing, right? I mean, I recall mm-hmm. being surprised by that response, because we'd been talking so much about native advertising, and obviously in the content marketing cocoon, right, native advertising had been discussed a lot, but we found that a lot fewer people actually kind of recognized it, knew it, and were doing it than we thought, which really gets at the point of, you never want to assume, and it's better to ask the questions and find out the real answers, right?
Exactly. Yeah, like you said, I mean, so often we're working off of assumptions, but when you have an asset, you can find out for sure, you know, whether that assumption is, you know, you always test your theories. I mean, that's the scientific method, you know, formulate a theory and then test it, and the survey does that. And so, yeah, we walked away. And then we were all surprised, because native advertising was the buzzword, was the current buzzword. It seemed like everywhere you looked, there was some sort of hotshot talking about native advertising. You know, it was BuzzFeed was talking about it, Mashable, all these different companies talking about it and doing it, yet when it came down to it, the understanding and awareness within the market was very, very low. And so you know, that
so
helped.
You and you were already planning on doing the native advertising series before we did the survey. The survey was to start it. So how do you think the results of the survey inform the series, or possibly even change the trajectory of the series from where you had initially planned on it going?
That's a great question, because native advertising, I don't remember at what point I had done the survey and at what point I had done the research, whether the survey became before or after it. I have a hunch, because it was we had to do the survey further back, so I don't think I'd done the research yet. So in a lot of ways, it did inform what I was after and the information that I could use. In a lot of ways, because, you know, for example, it confirms this belief that you should really assume nothing about the sophistication of your audience, meaning that you should treat them as if they don't know anything, because, you know, we often get into this rut of what they call the curse of knowledge, where you think, hey, I know this really well, and so does everybody else. And it's what the mistake in that is, the fact that, you know, it's just simply not true. Just because you know something doesn't mean that somebody else. And we know this is true, because when you try to explain to people, like the other night, some young man was trying to teach me how to play euchre. It's a card game. Mm-hmm. And he was saying these words like bids, sets, and I knew what they meant, but not in his context. And I said, he said, this will be easy. And I said, that's easy for you to say, right? You know? Yeah. And so, but that's the idea, right? And so anyway, so when it came to native advertising, I understood, like, you know, I have to just start from the very bottom and just, you know, define it and simply keep repeating what that definition is throughout there. And if you look back at through those articles, I always started each article with the definition of what native advertising is, to give people something to sort of anchor themselves on, to help, you know, to steer them. When asked, because I know when I'm asked, if I don't understand something, and this is kind of the trouble I've been having with this idea of adaptive content recently too, is I need to be explained something like in one sentence or two sentences, very simply and succinct. So in that way, that survey, Native Advertising Survey, helped me to create that series, and then just give really concrete examples of native, you know, a native advertising in the wild and stuff like that.
And, you know, you said something interesting there about assuming that your audience knows nothing. And you have to be careful with that a little bit because it can sound condescending.
Right.
But you don't mean it in that way, of course. It's not assume that your audience are idiots. It's just assume that they don't understand this concept yet. But once you explain it to them, they will get it. So it's just, you know, make sure that those bases are covered. Don't assume everybody knows what you know already. So I want to talk a little methodology here, because the two surveys, the native advertising survey, as you mentioned, was short. It was 12 questions. The cost of doing a business online survey is much bigger, 53, 54 questions, something like
57.
That. 57. Yeah, 57 questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the differences in creating those two surveys? I mean, you know, the one very short, the one very long. What were some of the differences? What were some of the lessons that you learned based on how people responded?
Yeah, so I knew that was a risk going into the cost of business, online business, doing business online survey, that it being long, because, you know, kind of convention tells you keep it short. And there were a number of comments within, probably two or three comments within the survey results. Comments are like, you know, don't you realize that, you know, surveys should be short? Anything longer than that, the response will drop. And the response did drop, but it did not drop nearly as dramatically as we thought it would. In fact, it was like on the very first question we had, I think it was like 449 responses. And all the way to the very last question, we had 421 responses. So there's a very tiny drop. I expected a drop. I didn't expect that small of a drop, though. So I was really pleased with that. And so the methodology of, like, you know, trying to dig into the questions, I was trying basically was, within reason, you know, kind of uncover what it looked like to run a business online, you know, whether you sold physical products or it was, you know, we're talking about digital information, that sort of thing, software, what have you. So, and so really it was kind of like, you know this because you went through many iterations of the survey questions, and I was asking lots of people. I had a number of people like, you know, Chris Brogan and Jeff Goines take a peek at it and just tell me, what am I missing here? And Chris Garrett and Sonia Simone and all these people looking at it, just saying, all of these people run businesses online and get their information and get their feedback on what sort of questions should I be asking? Are these the right questions? So I was really interested in being, I would say, I couldn't be totally precise. If I was, you know, totally precise, but if I'd have been much more precise, it would have been probably, you know, twice as long survey. But I was really after just figuring out, so as much as I could uncover, what were the categories? So I went after like the categories, you know, what were the main categories from running a business? And that was from like creation to, you know, execution type of thing, to the commerce side, to the security, you know, security as a category. And then within that, tried to ask a few questions that got me close to, you know, useful information. And as we talked after we got the results, and we've, you know, kind of talked through some of the results, you know, we all agree that they're like, for each one of those categories, we need to do another survey that just digs even deeper into that a particular information.
And you know, it's interesting too, because again, the two surveys were different, but it all comes down to your goals and what you're after. So the native advertising series, it was very much about gaining kind of a broad understanding of what people know generally about native advertising. So, you know, 12 questions that are somewhat general. There's not a lot of, you know, follow-up from one question to the next. Really kind of fit the purpose of that survey. With this cost of doing business online survey, you could have asked 10 to 12 questions and gotten thousands of responses, right? Instead, you asked 57. We got 400 and some responses.
Right.
But what's really interesting about the data set that we got is you can go and you can cross-reference, okay, this person answered, you know, to question number 40, whatever, it's, you know, how much are you spending on SEO? You can go back and now look at what they answered to number 4, and are they saying that they're barely paying the bills or living comfortably from their online site? So you can, you get depth of information with the longer survey that you don't get. So again, you're sacrificing number of responses for the depth of the responses. And I think for that survey, it made sense to do it that way. And that's where I think if someone's planning their own survey, their own research project like this, you really want to think about what kind of data set do you want to get? What are you going to be using it for? For us, the cost of doing business online survey, We knew we wanted to obviously put out a good report, a good educational PDF at the end that everybody could learn from, which I think we did and we will. That's going up tomorrow. But also for our own internal use. You know, this really helps mm-hmm. us understand our right. audience better, understand what people's needs are, what their challenges are, you know, and if they're what I love about it is being able to go in there and look, okay, here's this group of people that said that they're not experiencing success. How are they answering all these different questions? Where are the right. gaps? What are, you know, what are the majority of people who aren't having success? Where are they? What are they not doing? Or what are, mm-hmm. you know, what are they not investing enough money in? And that made it really, really valuable.
I think that, you know, too, you will come away. And so the more information that you ask, of course, you know, the value has come, you know, as you look at it, you think, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, that's a surprising find. You know, those sort of nuggets that you weren't really expecting kind of, you know, come to the surface. And that's the beauty of doing a survey, you know, is asking these questions and seeing how people respond and then seeing how the questions relate to each, because you're not really thinking that way. A lot of this is, you know, serendipity in the sense of like sitting down, thinking about this logically, but then when you sort of release it out there and the information comes back, it comes back in such a way that, you know, if you study it, you'll see these patterns emerge as we kind of did. And so that's really, really interesting, which helps us then, okay, so what, you know, what content that we can create and what format that can serve these needs here, these people, what kind of product could we create to serve these needs that these people are saying that they have in this sort of unique kind of convergence of data sets.
So I feel like people who are listening to this probably are having two objections in their head listening to us talk about this as they think about applying it to their own sites, their own online businesses. One is, well, we don't have an audience quite as big as Copyblogger, or we don't have the resources or want to invest the resources to go out and pay for a survey like this. You know, you can go to SurveyMonkey and you can use Google's consumer surveys. We actually have a post coming out about this that Sean Jackson wrote. It'll come out sometime early this year where he went out and did some tests. Now, you have to pay some money to use those services, but you can get good data. But in terms mm-hmm. of the people who are thinking, well, you know, why should we do this? We don't have an audience as big as Copybloggers. How would you respond to that? Because it's true. You know, obviously, I mean, we've had almost a decade to build a very responsive audience, which we feel very, very fortunate to have. And we're so grateful that people spent the time, you know, to take the survey and to provide this great data that they did, which we really hope, again, really helps inform mm-hmm. us and make better editorial choices, product choices. But should it deter someone if they have a smaller audience, or is it still worth doing even if your audience is smaller?
I think it's still worth doing. I mean, you know, even if you had 10 faithful readers, you know, you would treat them the same way as if you had 1,000 in that sense of just ask, you know, it's your audience. Those are the people you should be listening to. So, and there are, you know, lots of free tools out there. For example, you know, Google Forms helps you create, allows you to create free surveys that you can embed and actually on your site. Or if you don't even go that route and you have a small audience and you have a responsive audience, just, you know, create one as a blog post, you know, on your website and just ask that question, have people respond in the comments or send you an email. You know, there's a lots of just very cheap, inexpensive workarounds to get that information. But the practice of surveying, right, is really just a broader it's a discipline. It's one, you know, technique inside the discipline of listening to your reader, which we should all be doing. So you can do surveys through your blog. You can do surveys, you know, on Twitter. You can, you know, if you've got only 400 people who follow you, you can still ask them questions and ask the question repeatedly, you know, so it gets more exposure. You can do that on Facebook. You can do it, you know, through email if you want to send them email. But there's a lot, you know, like I said, it's part of a broader discipline of actually listening to your audience, which is, I think, the cardinal rule. It's like the golden rule of good content is first and foremost listening to your customer. So figure out how to do that survey, and it doesn't matter if you don't have a very big audience at all. Can do it anyway, because it's just like it's how you would make a decision in a group anyway. Even if you had, you know, a book club of four people, you would ask them, so what book should we read next? And that's, you know, they would tell you, and you guys would then decide, and that's the direction you would move, and everybody's happy.
If you could do either survey over again, native advertising or cost of doing business online, what would you do differently, if anything?
That's a great question. Well, the biggest mistake that I made on this last one, the cost of online business, was I did not allow for people to choose multiple options. And it was one of those oversights that, you know, I was so concerned about all these other portions and getting these things right and testing it, that it just didn't even occur to me that some of these questions were phrased in such a way that demanded, you know, the opportunity for multiple checkpoints and stuff like that. So that's the biggest lesson in that one, is in the future, you know, instead of radio buttons where they exclude other answers, use, you know, checkboxes so people can check as many as they want.
Yeah, and again, the cost of doing business online survey, if you're listening to this episode of The Lead on Tuesday when it comes out, that will be on the Copy Blogger blog tomorrow, Wednesday. And if you're listening to this at some other point in the future, just tweet us at Jared Morris or at Damian Farnworth, and we can send you a link to the cost of doing business online survey, because I think there's a lot of information in there that people will get a lot of value out of. We certainly did.
Yeah, and just to let people know too, is that we, you know, Jared and I both went through there, and Stephanie too, went through there and added, you know, analysis and commentary to some of the, you know, some of the questions, probably a good majority of the questions in there.
Yeah. Any particular responses from the cost of doing business online survey that stand out? I was particularly fond of the person who responded, goat herder.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed with that one. Yeah. Themselves. My favorite comment was under the question of how successful is your online business, and the response was, "I'm 22 and I'm driving a $70,000 Mercedes, and I don't know. You tell me."
Yeah, I'd say that guy's got it going on.
Yeah, so he's got something going on.
All right. Well, I think we certainly learned a lot from the surveys, and I think it's something that we'll continue to do, because, again, the thing to remember is a lot of times we look at, you know, if we're in a crowded niche or we look at just how much content is out there, it's hard to see what you can do that's unique sometimes. But remember that you are the only person with your audience, and so that is one surefire way to get unique content ideas, is to talk with your audience, find out what they're thinking, let them answer some questions, learn from them, and then see what kind of helpful, useful content you can turn that into, because that is going to be unique because it's based on your audience, and you're the only one who has that audience. So with that said, Damian, another fun episode of The Lead.
Indeed, in the books, right?
Yes,
in the books.
In the books. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another one.
And I will be in the books until then.
All right, sounds good, man.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Lead. We're excited to be back for another year of every other week episodes in 2015. And if you enjoyed this episode, and if you've been enjoying past episodes, please consider giving the show a rating or a review on iTunes. We would definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to go to authorityrainmaker.com. The early bird pricing won't be around much longer. And just know that the vast amount of actionable information you will learn at this year's event will be surpassed only by the incredible amount of fun that you'll have simultaneously. I know. I was there last year, I'll be there this year, and I hope to see as many of you there as possible as well. All right, everybody, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of The Lead. Hopefully you build a bunch of positive New Year momentum in the meantime. Talk to you soon. Serve boldly.
So I wish I was a slave to an age-old trade. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rough.